Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Garment Decorators podcast. Today, I'm very excited to welcome Lucy to the podcast, who works over at Premier Workwear. And we've got a very exciting episode lined up for you all today, where we're talking all about who Premier are as a brand, how they can help you as an apparel decorator, all of the different products they have to offer, as well as some new exclusives, and of course, the winter warm-up event. So, Lucy, hi, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me. Nice to see you guys.
Anytime. Do you want to start with like your role at Premier and how you sort of came to work there for all of the listeners who don't know who you are?
Yeah, of course. So my name's Lucy, as you said. My role is the EU Business Development Exec. So that means that I essentially get to go to all of the trade shows across Europe, visit all of our customers, present new products, be an account manager to make sure they're all sticking across and selling lots of Premier stuff for us. And also just go and get some market feedback, because that's one of the things that we always struggle with as a brand is having that EU voice. So it's nice to have me as a representative for all of our EU customers. I actually joined the company 3 years ago. So for me, it's flown by. Joined during lockdown. So it was a crazy time to start a new company. But for me, I've enjoyed it so much. And I get to use my languages because I speak French and Spanish. So
really? That's so cool.
Fun fact.
I'm trying to learn Spanish, but I'm sort of trialing and failing. So I come back from Spain and do a couple of days worth of lessons and then forget for 6 months and just it will just be.
Yeah, and then Duolingo's like, you haven't been active for so many days, and you're like,
yeah. I know, stop reminding me. And of course, I haven't introduced, I am here with Andy as well. Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good. So where do you guys want to start? Should we kick off with a bit more of an introduction, like about Premier as a brand? Because this is the first time that we've had you on the podcast. And for our listeners, they might not know who you are, which I find that very hard to believe. But can I give us a little introduction as to who you are as a brand, what you sell, and sort of how our customers could benefit from you guys?
Yeah, so Premier Clothing started in 1999, all the boring bits. Started during in the UK, so up in North Wales. Slowly moved out into the EU and then also launched in America, which was a really exciting time for us because it's such a huge opportunity out there. Our main core markets are hospitality, corporate, health and beauty, that sort of thing. But I think what people don't really realise is that the Premier brand is a lot more than that. Yes, aprons are our bestseller. It's what we're known for. But we also sell, as you mentioned earlier, about the winter warmer event, outerwear, polos, shirting. A couple of items behind me for those who are tuning in on visual rather than audio. So it's just a really great brand to be able to showcase, I think, within workwear, the full outfit from top to toe in Premier. We have solutions for hospitality, for corporate, for anything you can think of as probably a Premier outfit for that workforce.
Premier, it's one of those brands a bit like we discuss a lot about when you go into shops as a consumer and you look at shirts and you're like, oh, I know what this is, because we work behind the scenes, you know. Yep. Sometimes that might dictate whether you buy it or not. But Premier is another one of those brands where once you get to know the products a bit more, you start to see, you go into hospitality places and you start seeing them, you're like, yeah, recognize that one, yeah. Recognize that. I know where that came from.
Literally can't switch off sometimes. When you go out into, for me, Chester's my local city, I'm like, oh, that's the PR123 Espresso bib apron that they've got on. And yeah, you can recognise them straight away, the aprons. It's really sad when you think about it. But
that's actually a good point, because I do that with the hoodies and the tees and that we wear all the time. You try and spot them, but this is a real burnout to restaurants for me. So one of the things I wanted to touch on, and I know we spoke about this briefly before the podcast, but you've mentioned a very wide variety of products there, and obviously you cater for a lot of different markets. But one of the things that we wanted to mention was the variety of markets that Premier is able to cater for, not just hospitality or workwear, like you just said. So do you want to touch on a few of those that people might want to say miss when they think Premier workwear?
Yeah, of course. So I think, as you said, we've got our core markets there, hospitality, corporate, health and beauty. But if we were to take aprons as an example, it's not just restaurants, bars and cafes that they can go into. I think a lot of people miss the big markets behind the scenes that they don't traditionally think of first when they see an apron. Like gifting, for example, is a really big market. we see a lot of our aprons on Amazon, on Etsy, Happy Father's Day, or Best Chef in the World. It's all these smaller sort of end users who are using them in such a variety of different creative ways. I think as well with aprons, there's arts and crafts is another big one. You'll see it in, especially the trend for painting and like sip and paint or something like that. There's so many different places, pottery and places, garden centers. The list goes on, I think, with aprons. That's only one example. There's so many different industries there. And like outerwear as well. Jackets are not just for, I don't know, the traditional markets of sort of workwear that you think of, like warehousing, manufacturing. They can go into events, tourism. We see our jackets all over the place, even in hospitality. So I think that's what people sometimes miss is that versatility of Premier. And I think that's a really big opportunity for a lot of resellers as well to sort of take from that.
One of the things that I was talking about today was the festive market. And I think aprons is a big one for that as well. But like you just said, because so many people would be like, have some sort of festive quote on there, or like the Best Chef or something about cooking the turkey. And I was looking at that today and I thought Etsy is like just a crazy market for things like that.
It is. And so everyone's so creative that you end up seeing on Instagram, for example, our PR150 apron being used in crazy different ways. And you think like, how has somebody turned something such as a basic garment as an apron into such a creative piece of print or used it in such a different way? And I think that's a really exciting part of our industry is that people are using Premier products in so many different ways. And it's really enjoyable to see it as a manufacturer of those garments.
So if someone is listening and it's the first time they've been introduced to you, or it's the first time that not necessarily they've introduced, but they might be thinking about, maybe I should think about this as an industry for me. I know it's obviously, Molly said, it's quite broad, but are there perhaps some, maybe like two or three or five sort of entry-level products or markets that perhaps people could target as a, in the first instance?
So I think with Premier, it's the first thing people think about is aprons. And I think for us, our colours collection of the PR150, the PR154, which maybe people are very familiar with, is always the best option to go with if somebody is looking to step into this market of printing, decorating blank garments. Just because they are the most versatile, probably, piece in our collection. They go into all those different sectors that I mentioned before. There's 62 colours, and I think that's another thing that people forget about with Premier is that we have such a wide colour choice, and people want to be creative. Brand identity is more important now to end consumers, especially within standing out in the market. There's such a big saturation of, I suppose, workplaces nowadays. It's you go into your big city, how do you stand out from the restaurant two doors down? And I think end users should really capitalize upon that in terms of not just showing them the basic aprons, but we have a really great collection of artisan aprons as well. So it's that next step up, but it's still a very affordable price point in terms of allowing you to be unique, creative, stand out from the rest, but still not spend as much money. Because I think for us as manufacturers, I know that it's something you've touched upon with other guests that you've had on the podcast is that good, better, best. You want to give them the good entry level option, and then the better, best is our artisan, for, as an example.
I think the thing is as well is that people can often, obviously, you can decorate on these aprons, so we know that they're easy to put transfers and many other products, embroidery, very, very easy. But they can be, in the right hands, be used as like an accessory. To the, if they like to say the artisan hobby shop, or actually apron on is all part of the aesthetic, of the people working there and the environment, isn't it? They probably don't even need an apron sometimes, but it looks cool, or like a barber or someone like that, where they, you know, it just makes it look a bit more premium.
I totally agree.
Let's not touch on that.
Probably have
no, I think we should let ourselves apron. And he would be worth it.
No, I think what you mentioned is really important, because I've seen such a big trend of, especially interior design, really influencing, I suppose, our creative process of what we're bringing out next year. We know that, like you said, those earthy artisan, sort of sustainable, organic, vegan restaurants is really, I don't want to say trending, but it's becoming more and more popular. And it's, well, how do we influence our color palette to be the same colors to match the aesthetic? Because it's not just uniform on its own, and then the location, they've got to match, and everything's got to be in keeping and keep that brand identity all together.
You do really notice it when you walk into particular places as well, don't you? Like from coffee shops through to restaurants. If you walk in and everything's pulled together, everything's on brand, and it all has the same theme about it, it might just be me, but you automatically get that sense of like, oh, this is really like satisfying, like I like the vibe in here. Whereas other places where they're sort of they don't even wear like the same kind of clothing, and it's all a bit mismatched, and it doesn't feel right. So that's a really good point.
No, and it makes you trust the place a lot more. Like, I mean, there's so many different places you could go and spend your money in a restaurant, and if you walk into somewhere and it doesn't look right, you're less likely to return. Even if like the customer service is good, you're not even getting through the first step because you're like, I don't trust this place, I'm going to walk out and go somewhere else. It could be incredible food, it could be incredible service, but you're never going to know because everything just doesn't. Okay. No, exactly.
The power
of wearing
aprons. Brand of t-shirts, aprons,
all part of it on the door. Apart from, so after aprons then, is there another product which you think this is a good starter product for you, or this is a good complimentary product, or something that everyone could perhaps order tomorrow, get a few samples and get started with?
I think our shirting is quite versatile, especially from the good, better, best perspective. Our poplin shirts, the polycotton 6535 shirts, come in like 26 different colors. Again, I think when you have a bigger color choice, it allows you to be a lot more creative and give you a lot more freedom and opportunity to target maybe new markets that maybe you hadn't thought of before. And then having that better option being the Supreme poplins. They're a bit of a superior fit. They have that bit more heavyweight, natural feel. The fit looks a bit nicer. And then going into our sort of the Oxford shirts that I'm wearing today, which are perhaps a bit more casual. They can go into corporate wear, but you also see these in so many different places. Like if you didn't want to wear a polo, for example, or a t-shirt, it's nice to have that little bit more formal look. It's not for everyone because we know that people are becoming more and more casual. So it goes both ways in terms of the trending down towards polos and t-shirts and trading up the shirts. So for me, I think that's probably the second product that I would definitely suggest to customers, because aprons are our best sellers. We then sell an immense amount of shirts, and that tends to be indicative of what does really well. And I think customers like to know that it's good quality from Premier. Stock availability so that people can always buy them and it's there, it's readily available for customers. And then also just the fact that if it has that sort of a seal of approval that it's a bestseller, people tend to trust that product, don't they?
Well, that's the thing with workwear as well, isn't it? Like even with like restaurants or like say even like a maybe a building company or office or something like that, they're going to have a lot of employees, and it's not going to be a case of only need 10, it will be like, no, if we're doing an order replacement, it's going to be like 100 to 500 minimum before you then worry about, I don't know, the rest of the workers. So you need to have that stock in place, and you need to have that reassurance that if the customer says, you know, we've just taken on another 10 people, we need another 100 shares, that you can do that.
Now, the worst thing is, as a reseller, that you choose a great product and you have everything sort of ticked off, signed off. They come to reorder and there's no availability. And it's like, do you trade to another product, or what do you do in that situation? It's so, can be quite difficult for a lot of resellers. So I think for them to know that good availability for, well, great availability for a lot of our products is a really good reassurance for them, especially with reordering and making sure to keep all of their end users happy.
One of the ideas that you had when we spoke before the podcast about the with the shirts in particular was the different color options for different like departments almost. And I thought that was such a genius idea, because you going back to the restaurant example again, if you've got people that work in the kitchen versus people that work front of house versus the waiters versus the bar staff, they might not necessarily all want to be in the same color so that the customers can figure out like who they go to for what and things like that. So if you had the bar staff in black, for example, and the waiters in white and the front of house in whatever color the brand color was for the restaurant or something along those lines, I just thought that was such a good idea for the different sections of workwear that you sell into, rather than everyone just having the same thing.
Exactly. I find color visualization is so important, especially for the psychology of some of the workplaces as customers. I know that for myself, I definitely have color associations in healthcare and beauty, for example. So our new range Honor, which sort of caters for the health and beauty industries, we have a specific green, which for me, I associate with vets instantly. And then blue is more with nursing, healthcare, doctors. And it's kind of the same in hospitality, I suppose, is that if you have different color separation, you can quickly identify who is what role in that workforce, as you said. Another product that I think works really well for that is our Swap and Pop apron. So
that's so cool,
isn't it? We designed it to be a product where you buy the straps and the body of the apron separately. There's 10 bodies, 24 straps, up to 200 combinations. And we found that, like you said, in hospitality, you might have the bar staff have a black body, but they've got the red straps, so they instantly stand out. And then maybe the front of house is a blue, and they're all colors that are part of that workforce's logo. So you're kind of taking different aspects and bringing in a pop of color in different areas. Maybe the chefs are of white straps because black and white is a very classic color for chefs, isn't it? And there's just so many examples as well, where we also have really good color matching across different products. So our ties, our shirts, and our colours collection apron. If you had the red Pantone, the red in the shirt is the same red as our aprons, is the same red in our ties. So you can have colour matching as well as colour pops as well within our range.
There's not just one of your sell each time. There is, it's a set, it's a kit of items per person. It's hospitality, so it's going to be 5 days a week at least as well. So from actually, if you can get some of this type of hospitality work, it's a really great revenue source to your business, because it's always going to be large orders. There's also multiples of each order. And it's even things like, you can even buy the trousers and the chinos to go with these items as well. So it's literally head to toe, everything is covered from one single source as well. And it all matches, like I say, which is perfect, because it's pristine and it's literally uniform. but yeah, it looks professional for any business that way as well.
No, I 100% agree. I mean, even taking from my personal example of when I was a student in university, I used to work at the racecourse in Chester. And even as a part-time member of staff, you have two aprons, two shirts. You're there for a season, perhaps you change. You have such an influx, I suppose, in one establishment of the students alone coming in and out every year. And there's always a constant yearly revenue of maybe at Christmas, you get some extra stuff for the festive season. Over the summer, when it's a little bit busier with the race course and all the racing that's going on. And yeah, there's just so many more different revenue opportunities, like you say, across the year in one place. Imagine times that by the amount of restaurants and places in Chester. That's just an already immense opportunity there, just in one sector of hospitality.
Yeah. So thinking about how we might be able to help the people listening, because those that have never offered hospitality packs or kits to anyone before, they listen to this, they're like, Lucy, this sounds amazing, I'm in. And they're going to start phoning up restaurants and maybe some local chains, perhaps. Is there any advice you would give to people that are approaching, say, a restaurant or some sort of hospitality industry for the first time in terms of things that there might be some, not necessarily regulations, but it's probably like common things that they ask for. Like it could be like the colors, or it could just be particular types of cup. Is there any kind of best practice or ideas you could give to people so they could succeed on that first phone call or email?
I think the first one would definitely be to reach out to us as a brand. So we have 4 brand reps that go across or span the whole of the UK and Ireland. And they're an invaluable resource, especially for sort of getting you all the POS that you might need for your first visit. So a brochure. We also have an artisan magazine, which gives you a lot of inspiration for uniforms. So I think visually it's really good resource for going to end users like the restaurants, bars, cafes and saying, look, if you like this uniform here, it's already a predetermined outfit. Let's just switch up some of the colors for your brand identity. And that's already a really easy win. And as well, they just have so many good anecdotes to be able to help you in terms of your approaching the end users, like I said. The next step, or I guess the next tip would be, is to definitely understand what they want out of their uniform. So not every bar, restaurant, cafe has the same requirements. So for example, maybe a more casual sort of pop-up cafe might only just need an apron and a t-shirt. Whereas something a bit more established, like when I was working at the racecourse, for example, was definitely a formal shirt. They liked the fitted chinos. It was a full bib apron with a lot of different opportunities for branding. They wanted jackets because people are moving indoor, outdoor. So it's definitely, I suppose, the top tip is understand their requirements as an end user. There's nothing worse than proposing like this big idea and it's like, let's just dial it back, or actually you need a lot more than this, so let's, I suppose, scale up. So it's always good to understand where you're sitting with that end user, and then like you said, understand what their budget is, so that from a good, better, best perspective, so you've got a few different options to propose to them. I think as well, workwear is such an overwhelming space sometimes. There's so many options out there. It's not even from just Premier, but from all the different brands as well. It's how do you identify what is going to be the 3 good options or the 3 solid options that you want to propose. And maybe even have like mini lookbooks of ideas of, I saw your interior design and I thought that apron would go really well with your aesthetic. It works within your budget. What do you think? And then sort of gauge from there. I mean, people would always tell you that they want one thing and then you end up testing in a completely different look. So I think it's going through that process and not being afraid to sort of give your ideas as well, because people really appreciate it when you come to them with an idea rather than starting from scratch and trying to build up the uniform.
A good thing about hospitality or anything sort of public facing as well is that all of those businesses in theory should have some sort of social media. So you can look and you can see, well, what are they wearing at the moment? And then if you go onto the website, does that match their brand identity in terms of what they're actually, are they portraying what they think they're portraying with their uniform? And in that case, you can either go in there, it could just be simple, like use me instead of your existing supplier, or you can go in there with ideas like saying, like, here's what I think represents you as a brand or as a business that can make you look even better and stand out more against your competitors. But you will have that information before you go in, so you can take those the best. Well, it's good meta best, but it's also like you can kind of be quite narrowed down into what those 3 are, and you know that they're all going to work for them.
I was going to add on that as well and say that just the simple fact of approaching them with ideas is not only adds that personal element, like you said, about matching the style to what they're doing, things like that, because you know, the personal element, as we've experienced from previous customers, always works really well. But also from a time point of view, I can imagine the people that are making the decisions on what their staff are going to wear probably don't have much time to create mood boards and do the research into what they want. So they, from a time and efficiency point of view, they'd probably really appreciate you going, right, these are the options, this is what matches and this is what's in your budget. Make a decision and then we're all sorted. And they'd be like, lovely, great, get on with my day now.
A lot of people forget it's not just front-facing front of house staff that want uniform. It's just in the back, and the cleaners maybe that are coming after opening hours, or the dishwashers and the bar staff who are maybe always forgotten about a little bit. And I think from a complete uniform perspective, I think if you have solutions for all of the people within the whole company, I think that's also going to stand you a really good in a good stead when approaching end users.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Moving on to a decoration point of view, because obviously that's our realm of where we come into the lockdowns. I wanted to ask you about things that people struggle with when it comes to decorating workwear, because obviously we are supposed experts at it. And we decorate on t-shirts a lot, we decorate on sweatshirts a lot, but workwear is something that people do a lot of. So we've established the volume is there for the orders, the quantity. What are some of the things that you'll be able to come to you with that they struggle with the most?
In terms of our collection, a lot of our products are very versatile in terms of the different decoration techniques you can use. I think that's just because within workwear, brand identity and being able to decorate the garments is almost like the first requirement. So a lot of the times we've taken out a lot of the complications, or maybe the, the hard work out of it for you. But I suppose the questions maybe we sometimes get asked is on fabrics that are perhaps a little bit more challenging. So we have a waterproof or a coating on one of our aprons. It looks really nice and it works very well in terms of the bar staff, maybe for barbers. But people ask, well, how can I decorate on it? Because of course, if you were to put any sort of heat on that, then the waterproof nature just doesn't work. So people are very mindful, I suppose, on how they can decorate waterproof materials or perhaps faux leather trims. If you're wanting to add a little bit more of a pop onto maybe some different elements of the apron. And we always say that the first thing is to get in touch with us. We have a great team who also do a lot of testing. We know that testing is a really big, important part of this market. You don't want to end up with a product that maybe somebody said, oh, yeah, you can do that. And then you end up testing it and you've wasted 10, 15 aprons just on, you just haven't tested it before, but you've kind of trusted somebody to say that it works and it doesn't work in the way that you want it to. I think whenever people want to do testing, rather than maybe spending a little bit of their own money, because you can't be testing every single garment each time you want to do a new print, we always say get in touch with us, get in touch with your brand rep. They'll be able to send you some samples ahead of time. Or if you wanted that reassurance, always get in touch with us because we can do some in-house testing as well. And I think, yeah, the most important thing, I suppose, is just having that reassurance of that as a brand, Premier does decorate very well and it's a very versatile brand for different decoration methods. But of course, there are some certain materials like the waterproof apron I mentioned and faux leather trims where maybe they are a little bit more difficult. And what we say is if you want to do embroidery on them, you just need a little bit of a thicker needle, or it's just adjusting your setup slightly to cope with that material, or maybe adjusting your expectations of, well, on a waterproof apron, it's just not going to be possible to do heat print. And it's just having, I suppose, that in the back of your mind of, it can't do this, but it can also do something else, but it will still have the same effect and just in a different decoration style.
I think that leads us nicely on to some of these new products that you are going to be talking to us about, which we were really impressed with some of the pre-meeting stuff you sent over. But obviously, hospitality is massive, but it's only one thing. I think I can't remember how long ago it was. We discussed it a few times. Is
now you asked me about numbers.
No, I'm not going to give you any numbers. But we talk often about, you know, trying to find local business. It's very easy to expand from a central hub and go outwards. And we did a little .com quiz, probably like 6 months, even a year ago, maybe around local business, around where the office is, because we wanted to say, okay, here's how much hospitality places there are. So it was X amount of pubs and restaurants, and this is how many people work with them. But one of the other big ones that came up was around sort of care industry and health and beauty industry. And we know that you've got some new products around that, with scrubs and items. So perhaps you could tell everyone a little bit about this new product and a new opportunity, because I think everyone knows some sort of care or health and beauty businesses around them.
No, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think whenever I introduce the new collection, it's, I know somebody who's a nurse, or my friend is a nail tech, and it's that almost instant association with the uniform, because it's so recognizable, right? It's a collection of pops, tunics, and underscrubs. So it is very, I suppose it's very iconic. I mean, if you were to watch Grey's Anatomy or Scrubs or something like that, you instantly recognize the uniform, right? And for us, Honor is our solution to the health and beauty workwear industries. One of the reasons why we introduced this brand was because a lot of what we saw on the market was very unflattering. So, I mean, you can picture the traditional look being quite boxy and not very form-fitting. It wasn't very functional either. I mean, a lot of what you see now is very itchy and scratchy. And perhaps those people that you spoke to that work in this industry probably say as well, oh, I hate my uniform, or it doesn't flatter, it's not fit for purpose at all. So we really wanted to introduce something that was comfortable. It's made from polyester, recycled polyester, the viscose, which is why it's so soft and has a lovely hand feel, and elastane for four-way stretch. So for me, I think the collection is really something special. We launched it last autumn, winter, and we've already received an overwhelmingly positive review. I mean, I took it to Europe thinking the Europeans hate polyester, it's not going to go down well. But I think their mindset towards this uniform is completely different in these industries. Even though cotton is probably king over there in comparison to polyester, they understand the benefits of why we've done this, because it has the color fastness, it keeps its shape, it's durable. I mean, you probably notice that when you go to a dentist, their uniform probably gets washed and rewashed and rewashed so many times because of all the microbes or anything like that. I mean, working health and beauty is a very sort of industry where there's a lot going on. So I think having that reassurance that the material of your uniform is going to last a long time is a really good key selling point for that. As well, it's in really nice fabric colors that I was talking about earlier, with the greens for the dentist, that you kind of have that color association. Pink, you have the black, the gray, the pastel colors, navy, and the blue as well. So I think it's a really, really nice collection. And like you said, everyone knows somebody who works in these industries. So really versatile, can go into so many different places as well, not just health and beauty. I mean, I took it to a couple of different trade shows across Europe, and instantly they were like, I can see that people wearing that in retirement homes, or you can see cleaners wearing this sort of uniform, because it's iconic, but it's also a very versatile set of uniform as well.
So that's one area of new products that you've got coming out, but the other one that you mentioned to us was a jacket.
Yes, very exciting jacket.
In September, if I'm correct.
You are.
So this one has, yeah, that's exciting.
Yes, so you're literally probably one of the first people to see it. I do have it behind me on the rail, but I think you might have already had a sample, if I'm not mistaken. Perhaps you have. Perfect. So it's our Celsi Hydra Checker jacket. As you mentioned at the beginning of this podcast with the Winter Warmers event, our outerwear collection has really grown quite rapidly across a couple of years. So we first launched our artisan gilet, post-lockdowns it was, as a solution for indoor-outdoor dining. So a lot of people were having to have that 2 meters, weren't they? You could only eat outdoors for a certain amount of time. They needed a solution for people who are moving in and out of restaurants. That's how that sort of came to be. And then it just kind of spiraled from there. We introduced our microfiber fleeces, our soft shells that are printable, our padded jackets, because people wanted a complete Premier uniform. And I think that's where the Celsi Hydra Checker jacket sort of comes into play, because it was like, well, there's so many different industries like events, tourism, leisure wear, manufacturing, the list goes on, where they need an all-weather, all-solution jacket. I think this is the one that's going to be perfect for that. We can really see it going into so many industries because of its waterproofness to 5,000 millimeters. It's all-weatherproof, as I said. And people, I think you mentioned it quite a few times, like the top-to-toe look. And you don't want to hide your branding work sold for on your shirts, your t-shirts, to put on a random just thrown on from home. You want to keep that brand identity, and outerwear being the last layer is the most important one. So I think having that all-weather jacket on top is going to be the perfect fit.
The perfect addition to our all-inclusive collection.
Perfect addition to the only UK event dedicated to winter jackets.
I really thought that was going to be a pun then.
So will the, when the wonderful people come and see us at the winter warm-up event, will that probably be one of the first times they get to see the jacket? I assume it will be available to look at, touch and feel and ask some questions about?
100%. So for me as well, like I think I've only had a sample for about a week and a half now, just from all my travels. So it is very fresh for us as well. So we're really excited about it. I think that all the guys that are going to be coming on to Rallowise and down to see you guys as well, they're going to be really excited about it, because for us, it's people love our quality. They love our fit. They perhaps know us for all our different products. And I think outerwear is just that final touch. And people always love newness, don't they? It gets everyone excited. So I think it's going to be a really great talking point for us at the event.
I'm personally excited. We have one around the back of this wall right now, and I cannot wait to start printing on it and testing it and figuring out what the best recommended application is going to be.
Yeah, so if anyone who's been listening is curious about getting started, or, you know, they're still a little hesitant about trying these things out, the winter warm-up event is a perfect chance. You get to meet some people from Premier. We're delighted to have them on board as one of our partners for this event. So those questions, like say around waterproof or just anything to, in the range, you want to know more about, you want to see it, you want to maybe try some heat applications, there'll be heat presses at both events. So even if it's something that we've not thought of for the event, you know, put us to the challenge, we'll figure it out on the spot anyway. But it's a really great chance to get to know this product range and to market and to see if it could be a great fit for you, because there's such high potential with it, because we're a growing population. So all of these industries that we've talked about today are only going to get bigger from the amount of people that need to work in them, to staff them. Every direction I go home from the office, I go three different directions, and there is either a new care home or they're building a care home. So, I mean, I guess it sounds, I don't want to sound morbid, but there's lots of old people going into care homes. So there's a lot of profit potential for everyone listening, truth be told. But it's true, they're building them everywhere.
You're so right. I don't know why they're only laughing at me.
So, you know, it's just, you know, let's be honest, it's an opportunity to provide them with, you know, some, I really like the term you gave us before, but I think we mentioned it, is active care wear. I thought it was a really great way of looking at it. It kind of really sums up the potential with this new product, is the chance to, you know, take this product and be like, would you like that, but to look better how you want it to be? Because basically the health and beauty industry, where, you know, appearance is everything. And then, you know, the part that was, this is the missing ingredient to everything else that's going on, is that actually, like say, nicer cuts, nicer feel of these things is going to be a real game changer for any of your customers that have this. I'm sure they're going to put this in front of them with some nice branding on. They're just going to be like, yes, please.
And you want to be comfortable. At the end of the day, no matter what industry you're in, you want to be comfortable today if you're working.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think with the phrase you said earlier, active care, where I think active is really the key word to hit on, or to really sort of expand on all the opportunities, because one of the things I found that when I was taking some trade shows is, as I said earlier, about care homes and those other sort of industries, kind of forget that active also encompasses sports as well. That we have the base layer in the collection. I think I was really surprised, I suppose, at the amount of people that looking at this product, and it, I mean, it's marketed towards like health and beauty, but they were like, the super soft base layer, it's extremely stretchy, it's breathable, it has mint deodorizing technology. I'm going skiing next week, I want one. Or they were saying like, oh, I'm part of a run club, and when it comes to the winter, like, we want something that is exactly this. And I suppose the key message is that whatever product you see, don't just take it at face value, because there's so many different ways that you can remarket it. And I suppose that is where all the opportunities lie, is within the hidden gems of these industries that you kind of forget about.
Yeah. So something I just kind of also want to throw in as a little bit of advice for people is, when you want to start having these conversations, all these different industries, is, if the smaller they are, the more chance you're going to get the chance to meet the end wearer. Because, like, say, it's having a more athletic fit and a more comfortable fit is really important, because it's probably one of the most active industries there is. It's a very active job. So if you're going to visit these places of work, chances are you're going to come through the front entrance and see the people that would wear the product. So it's really important that don't put your stuff in a box or a bag. If you can carry it, I would put it on a rail and wheel it through, or have it in your hand, because you really want these people to see it, who are going to wear it, who are, they're not the ultimate decision maker, but they will have a lot of influence on decision to wear it. But they'll be like, why aren't we wearing those scrubs? They look way more comfortable. They look way nicer. I want to wear the, like, see a nice apron and be like, when are we getting those then? I saw them come in. When are we having them? I want those. Because they will drive that influence. So make sure that you go past. If someone looks at them and look interested, you know, linger for a moment, see if they want to touch and feel them, because they will help drive that awareness of the product across the business and help make that decision, and hopefully get you the job to print out what that aftercare wear for them as well.
I think that's really important, because there's so many times where you go into, I suppose, end user spaces, and I guess you kind of forget all of the different criteria individual people have. So for me, it's like, fit is very important. And I suppose there's so many different products with different fits. It's like, at what point do you make the decision to go down a modern fit, or maybe a more slim fit? But then anything that's slim fit, maybe people of a certain size don't particularly like, because it's not flattering for them. And it's all these different things that, until you bring that uniform into the space that people are working in, that's when you'll get all of these little comments that could potentially change the whole outcome of the uniform. And I guess another thing is to get it in the hands of people and have them test wear it. I think that's a point that you've made across different podcasts from when I've been listening in, is get it in the hands of the garment resellers, get it in the hands of the end users. If you try it and you like it, you're more likely to want to sell it. And then obviously, you know how it feels, you know how it wears, you know how it waffles. And the more confidence you have in the items you're selling, I suppose that makes the whole process even easier, because there's nothing worse than trying to sell something that you haven't tested before. You don't know if it waffles well. I mean, I was doing district testing, but actually getting it at home and wash it about 20, 30 times was completely different.
That's true. So, yeah, just put it on when you're cleaning the house, and you'll soon know whether it's you put your faces that way. So if anyone is looking to help you with some samples, or perhaps they're like, actually, you know, I just need to buy some from a wholesaler, how can they get hold of it? We can cover UK and Europe, to be honest with you, because we have lots of European listeners too. So what's the best way to get hold of this Premier product?
I suppose there's three different ways. There's getting in touch with your brand rep. It's probably the most accessible way. And then they can also come to you. They can have a look at your environment that you're in, your setup. They could also maybe propose some other POS, like, here's some brochures at the same time. Or we've got a stand that would look really well in your space. Let's just get you all set up with Premier. Or if you're just wanting something quick and direct for a specific customer, our distributors are also a great source of samples, and they can get you one or two pieces fairly quickly. And that's across the UK and Europe. I think they have schemes where you can send it back as well in a certain amount of days, which is great. Or even getting in touch with us as the brand. We're very generous with our samples, because, as we said earlier, we want people to test the products, You've got to have a good, I suppose, connection with what you're selling. And also people, when they're coming into your showrooms, if you don't have a sample of it, it's so hard to tell from a picture what a product is going to look like or feel. And there's only so much marketing description you can put on without actually seeing the product itself. There have been three ways. And of course, even in Europe, we can easily get samples to you because we've got a European warehouse as well. So lots of different variety of ways. And I suppose samples are key, aren't they, in terms of sealing the deal with your customers. So we know it's definitely the most important thing.
Perfect. Well, I think that's a very clean end to what I found very interesting podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lucy, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come on and have this conversation with us. We really appreciate it.
I know, it's been an absolute pleasure. So thank you for having me, guys.
And just a reminder, as we've been talking about the winter warm-up event, there are still some tickets available, but they are selling out very, very quickly. So if you do want to come to the event, it is free, but you do need to book. So head to the link in the description to find the link for that. And yeah, we'll be back next Monday with another Garment Decorators podcast. Thanks, everyone.